You're listening to Marketing Matters
on Business Radio.
Welcome back to Marketing Matters here on Business Radio, Sirius XM 132. I'm Barbara Kahn, the Patty and J.H. Baker Professor of Marketing, and I'm joined by my co-host, Professor Emeritus Reed, the Whitney M. Young Jr. Professor of Marketing and the Brand Identity Theorist. And right now, we are in our Spotlight segment, and we are joined today by Alex Medeiros, who's the General Manager for Sir Kensington and other Unilever-owned growth stage food brands. Hello, Alex. Welcome to our show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I got to tell you that I did a class project on Sir Kensington.
Did you really?
We did it in our visual marketing class. And so we were looking at your labels and we were looking at how to get Sir Kensington to stand out on the shelf. Hmm. And we did it in the context of being a Unilever brand because Unilever has quite a big profile in terms of trying to do the right thing environmentally and for sustainability. And they're not just about having, you know, a CPG firm just in general, but they really have a bigger worldview. And I think the brands that they acquire, which sounds like you're in charge of some of those brands, they acquire with a mind towards acquiring the right kinds of brands for making our world a better place. That was the impression I got. Do you want to speak a little bit to the relationship of Sir Kensington to Unilever?
Yeah, so I mean, this is absolutely a key driver of Sir Kensington's interest from the founders initially, Scott Norton and Mark Ramadan. You know, their keenness to join Unilever family because of how purpose-driven Unilever tries to make its brands. The existing brands is always about trying to find that one thing that they want to focus on and really get behind. And the new brands, normally, you know, Unilever will pursue brands that are already purpose-driven. And frankly, purpose-driven brands are proven to grow faster and create more advocacy and reach new people in a much more trusted way. So that's something Unilever is very much behind.
Yeah. And so just a famous story is they acquired, of course, Ben & Jerry's. And Ben & Jerry's has been quite outspoken and sometimes gets themselves into a little bit of trouble. I know this is one of America's brands he talks about sometimes. I'm not trying to ask you to talk about Ben & Jerry's. I know it's not your brand. But
I have worked on Ben & Jerry's.
Though,
I very much love the brand the same way.
Yeah, so Sir Kensington has a different profile than Ben & Jerry's, but talk a little bit about the origins of Sir Kensington and what values they have and why it would be the type of brand that Unilever might acquire.
Yeah, so, you know, what I would say is, you know, Sir Kensington's has always had, always wanted to do more than just, sell products. And I think, you know, in terms of how it's gone to market, that is always try to do it in a certain special way. But I think it's equally important to what it does for its employees, as well as the communities that it serves. So I would say, you know, for us, you know, the important thing is that we very much appreciate the people. So our first ingredient is people is our first value. Mm. And I think, you know, that's the most important thing about how we treat each other, how we get, everything that we do puts people first. We also have our value, which is we acted with integrity when no one is looking. Mm. So that is about, you know, how do we make sure that we're always putting our best foot forward to what is good, not just for business, but also for, again, all the stakeholders that we serve. Mm-hmm. Our third value is we put special sauce on everything. And you know, I think this is about really going the extra mile and really, showing that we care, just care more than most people care. I think that's really what we really try and represent in our people, in the way that we do business and everything that we go out with in terms of messaging and marketing message.
And I assume, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just want to jump in, Barb, because you already mentioned that I'm super interested in the purpose analysis, but also just to touch upon this as well, because I think it's very, in some ways, courageous to take something that is a condiment and literally put something else inside that bottle, which is to say the notion of this stands for something more than fantastically sourced quality ingredients, that there's something else about the people, the planet, other things. So very courageous. And so talk a little bit about making that step and feeling comfortable about saying, you know, there are going to be people potentially who don't buy our stuff because they might feel a certain way differently from an ideological point of view that has nothing to do with the preference or perception of what's inside this jar. Talk about that decision and being comfortable making that decision.
Yeah, I think what you'll find is that generally when you have a 50, what I would say Ben & Jerry's and other brands that are probably even more, take an even stronger stance in some of these statements that they make. I think the important thing is that you don't try to please everyone to that point, right? And I think it's, you know, having a strong stance means that you're not going to be able to cater to everyone. And I think, you know, what we have gone after is a much more holistic way to really care about our people, our planet, and the environment, and the communities that we serve, which, you know, we became a B Corporation in 2018. And with that comes this holistic approach about doing well by doing good. And generally speaking, we have not yet approached an inflection point as somebody like Ben & Jerry's, a brand like Ben & Jerry's has. But I would say that having that as a guidepost, would make us feel just as bullish and as bold about making those statements. As a smaller brand, I would say that it's a little bit of we want to make sure that we approach in the way that our trusted members, so we call it, you know, the taste buds, the people that really follow us and are brand fans, what they care about very much aligns with what we care about, and those things are very comfortable talking about. But we have yet to make a truly kind of controversial statement. But I would say that that could definitely come, you know, given the right time. But I think
you never know when somebody's going to force you into a position where you have to take a stand. And if you're clear on it, it's not controversial. You know, you're going to go after what your values are and the values of the core segment. So let's go into something a little more prosaic before we talk about some of the really interesting kinds of marketing you've been doing. But what is special about your product? So why do you have brand? I mean, you're mustard and ketchup, right? And that's a pretty mature category. How do you find a new niche in that category, product-wise?
Yeah, I think our very existence starts with that, right? It starts with a world back about 10 years where the world was evolving into healthier alternatives and you know, more mission-based companies and brands. And the condiment side was frankly overlooked and left behind in a way. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was a sea of red. We don't need to necessarily name brands, but it was a sea of course, it's ketchup.
Very well-known brands in your ketchup
very
category.
Well-known brand that is a ketchup and owns most of the market. Yeah. And it was surprising how no one had tried yet at that point to create a healthier alternative. They had, you know, real sugar and certainly a lower amount of sugar, real tomatoes instead of tomato paste and so on. Mm-hmm. And so the founders found an opportunity. They said, you know, let's go after reimagining the ordinary and overlooked, you know, foods with fearless integrity and charm. That is the mission of Sir Kensington's. So it started with ketchup and it branched out from there into mustards, into salad dressings. We have our everything sauces, which are variety sauces, and mayonnaise, which is now our largest category that we launched in 2013.
I mean, when you think about it, it's truly amazing. We're not going to have to even mention those names. But if you say ketchup, I'm pretty sure Sir Kensington, no offense, is not the first name that's going to come up. Similarly, with mustard and mayonnaise, you've got categories where they're huge, huge brands. So now you've got a differentiation, which I definitely think there's a desire for. But who heard of you? You know,
right. Here's the other thing, though, that I think is a nice opportunity for Alex and his team, and that's the idea that I think there has been, Barbara, a kind of reimagining, at least for me, an N equals one here. I can't tell you, Alex, how many meals have been ruined by the wrong condiment. Okay, so
much as they've been enhanced by the right condiment.
Exactly. So actually, I have a 10-year-old. Her name is Zora. And she has discovered, Barbara, that honey mustard is her favorite thing. And she is so into it that she carries it with her to make sure when we're out that she has her honey mustard. So condiments are actually critical, you know, a critical piece. So if you can jump in there and break out of this, well, don't think about it, you know, the routinized behavior, just grabbing the one that's the category that's at the top of the awareness funnel on the category, but looking for something special. And in fact, looking for something that says, hey, here's something that actually is really high quality, healthy, because that's kind of where I'm coming
from.
So
you think there's a niche?
I think it's huge. I think it's huge. And I am excited to actually try Sir Kensington, because to me, it's like, this is something that has been like, you know, bothering me for such a long time, Barbara. The fact that I can't get good condiments and my meals get ruined because of that. So
I know, and America's gave you an idea for a new product, ketchup you can put in your purse or your pocket.
I'm telling you, Alex, she's 10 years old. She's carrying around honey mustard. Okay. This is the opportunity to grab a new consumer for life.
Okay.
Man.
So now you're talking exactly to my question. Let me reiterate the question. So you've discovered a product that there's a need for, that there's definitely is a need for, there is a gap in the market, but you're playing against some pretty big players. So how do you get yourself known? And by the way, that's what we were trying to do on the show. You know, you're talking about products in a typical grocery store that have a lot more shelf facings than these products do, you know, and people are not used to seeing the package. So one thing was to try to get the package to stand out in a sea of these other packages, which are more familiar. But that's actually not what you're here to talk about now. Now you're talking more about how you got your brand out there and thinking about some of the ways to be more creative in getting your message out. Like, so America's is on your side. Now, how do you, if you didn't come on America's radio show, how would you tell America's that this product is there?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, we've always tried to do something different that stood out, right? I mean, I think every brand tries to do something a little bit different. And I think the approach that we've taken with Sir Kensington's, knowing that we're a smaller player in a big pond, is that we needed to do different stuff. I mean, and the stuff we very much started, you know, back in 2014, we started with Fries of New York. That was basically a New York real-life pop-up museum, if you've seen anything about it. But that basically celebrated the French fries for some of the best, you know, restaurants in New York. We exposed them and we treated them like artwork and got a ton of positive media on it.
That's
and
awesome.
People started hearing about Sir Kensington's. It was early in the journey. And from there, we kind of, you know, followed with kind of the theme and tried to, you know, we launched a magazine called Sandwich Magazine.
Interesting.
Yeah, we drove a fry truck across the country and you know, serving French fries, and ultimately produced a documentary about you guys, French fries.
I love
it. What better pair for a ketchup and our condiments than the French fries? So we've definitely celebrated the French fries. But
well,
I think
along those
all,
lines, let me just start. So did you do, you know, because this is another thing America's and I have been talking about on this show, is these collabs. So when you were doing this, did you collaborate with specific types of French fries, like, I don't know, McDonald's or something like that?
Not one specific. McDonald's, so we were democratic, but with high standards. So we wanted to make sure we got some of the best French fries of New York. But no, we don't discriminate. The big chains also have good French fries in some cases.
Interesting.
But I think, you know, that is what a lot of the documentary that we created is about.
It.
You know, the fries, the documentary that we launched this year. Mm-hmm. At the renowned Tribeca Film Festival, super proudly launched that. And that is what it celebrates, is the story is about the love of people for French fries. And some people just swear by the McDonald's French fries. And some people like their most sophisticated pommes frites from, you know, their favorite Belgian restaurant, you know?
Yes, yes. Here's what I love about this, Barbara. I love lifestyle brand, okay? The full 360 degree. It's you're being drawn, you're being immersed into a story. And there's all kinds of different opportunities for elements of that story to connect with you. For example, my very first solid food I ever ate, Barbara, according to Mama Reed, was a French fry. And so it's just there, man. The whole nostalgia, whenever I get a fry, I'm just like in it. And so, you know, so if someone steps in and says, let me celebrate this, America's, and expand your view, the context of why this is so powerful for you and many others. I mean, it's just a gateway right into kind of connecting in a way that, you know, some of these other perhaps, you know, super well-known other brands couldn't tell that story with the same authenticity, because it would be like, we don't know you for that. You're just sort of the run of the mill, you know, high, the low price. Here it is. It's okay. There it is. But to tell the story and to take it deeper, to take a more almost sociological approach, 360 degree view, is absolutely brilliant. And I love the idea, Alex, continue to build on this, because this to me is like, this is where the cutting edge marketing is happening.
Yeah, I think it's about finding, you know, how do you find excitement in the, you know, unconventional, and celebrate those things and tell this story. It's all about storytelling. Nobody cares about ads anymore. It's what story can you tell, you know, to people to build trust in your brand, and, you know, have some fun while you're at it, you know, hopefully.
I'm Barbara Kahn, along with America's Read. This is Marketing Matters. And today we're joined by Alex Medeiros, who's the general manager for Sir Kensington and other Unilever-owned growth stage food brands. And he's talking about how to get the brand out there, starting with a storytelling approach is one way, and really getting back to the roots of the brand and why people should care about it. But you've done what I would call recently a stunt, that maybe the idea was to try to get some social media attention, or I'm not sure how you're going to measure success, but tell us this stunt that you did in Midtown New York this summer, I guess it was.
Yeah. So what we did, I mean, we kicked off our summer definitely with the launch of Fries the Movie. And then, you know, from that point on, it was about, okay, how do you interrupt and how do you actually get noticed in a way that is really kind of fun and not ordinary, right? And so we created a nine-foot billboard in Midtown Manhattan. And we basically was, what we did is all about how to make people feel, not the functional benefits necessarily of our product, right? So that is that whole conundrum of, okay, you can call out your features. This isn't about the features. This is about how do you get something really craveable out there. To America's point, I mean, it's all about enhancing your food through condiments and with our condiments. And we put a beautiful, you know, picture of a sandwich, you know, very craveable food on the billboard, you know, full of delicious condiments. And it looked so delicious that people started eating it. And through the time, you know, as we were progressing, you know, people continuously kept eating our billboard. And we did this, a similar activation also in digital. And eventually we had to do surveillance. We had a camera filming people and we were monitoring the situation, and they keep eating and eating. So the billboard would evolve. and then eventually we said, you know what, we need some help. So we went to who better than Steve Sharipa from The Sopranos to help protect the billboard, you know, as the enforcer. Funny. So he, you know, posted a video with him, you know, calling people out saying, keep moving. You can't eat the billboard. So, you know, eventually we had to send our billboard to Geneva at Freeport, where, you know, there's more than, you know, I think $100 billion worth of art, you know, including about 1,000 pieces of Picasso there. And so we sent it over there so it stopped getting eaten. And we warned, you know, that's what the billboard evolved to.
So in order for this to work, you got to take a lot of pictures of this. You got to do a lot of video. You're hoping it gets caught on social media and that people. So like America's was telling you, you know, go back to the sociological storytelling. But this is creating your own story. And you want to make sure that story gets told. So how successful was it at generating social media and people watching it? And I mean, it's a very clever idea. Someone eating a billboard, of course, and it changed, and you would take that one down and put a new one up and it would get eaten also.
Yeah.
How did that work out?
It was very well received. What I would say is, you know, we, between the kind of core initiatives that we had this year, starting with Fries, the movie, you know, doing the billboard, finishing with, I'm sure we'll talk about the partnership and co-creation we did with Chrissy Teigen around the fry sauce. I mean, we've never gotten the amount of earned media that we got, you know, with these kind of activations. And I think it's, you know, I think it's just different and unexpected in a world where people are just, you know, getting numb to advertising. It's just something that people want to talk about and people are excited to talk about. So I definitely think it interrupted. I think it's, you know, I wish in that situation wouldn't have been a, you know, less, I would have hoped to be even more traffic on the street because not everybody's going to
the office. That's
and,
true.
And
that's
so on.
True.
So we did have to do it in the middle of that, but thanks to social media and digital activation, we were able to capture it, in much the same way.
You know, one of the things I like about this is we had a guest on the show recently who said he had a novel idea. Why should only Super Bowl advertising be interesting? Why is it that the rest of the year, all the advertising is so boring you want to zip through it? Why can't it be the story itself? And that's what it sounds like you're thinking. Like, let's make something you want to look at.
Yeah. And just I just want to jump in on this as well, build on Barbara's point, and really, give you kudos, Alex, because to me, you know, anybody can do something crazy and that can just create a bunch of attention, right? The notion that Barbara mentioned, a stunt. But I don't see this as a stunt. I see this as a story in the sense that this, it's creative and interesting, but it's consistent with who you are. It's not like people look at this and say, man, what's this circuit? What is all that? You know, it's part of the DNA of the brand. And as long as it's consistent and interesting and creative, then it can have more oxygen over time, right? But just doing something to be crazy, that's the easy part, really, right?
Yeah, and ideally you have a common arc, right? I mean, for us, it was fries. So I said, you know, the summer of fries is really what we were going after, and there was one, you know, step in that direction. But I would say that's absolutely right. It's not about the one kind of big activation or moment. I think it's about the consistent kind of full funnel and always on activity, and how can you turn that to be exciting.
And the other important part about this, Barbara, get your thoughts on this, to Alex's point, for the long game, you do enough of this and you will be the condiment that owns that space. Now, certainly there'll be other people who will say, I'm not interested in my condiments having that kind of texture and sophistication and interestingness. That's fine. But there are going to be a bunch of people, to Barbara's point, the word niche, there are going to be a bunch of people who say, that's my condiment, right? And, and they're going to be the super fans, right?
They may like, so we need. Even, you know, not that they won't like the taste, but even in that may not be the driving force. It could be that a brand that's this is crazy and does things like that, that's the kind of brand I want to be identified with.
It's all about the emotion. It's equally important. Although taste does need to be paramount.
But it may not be, you know, some of us are not super tasters like Americus.
It's table stakes, right? We need to be the better tasting condiment, the best tasting condiment out there. But then, if you can do it in a fun way that builds trusted advocacy, that is what we're going after.
So you alluded to this, but let's talk about it. So another thing that you're seeing in today's marketing is moving with social influencers or celebrities and choosing the right player and then making sure that that's consistent with your story. So how did you go about, you know, picking who your celebrity to do it with you? Was that a good choice? She had some controversy herself, actually, which you probably had to deal with. I'm not sure the timing of when it happened. Yeah. But you went with Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah. So look, we collaborated with Chrissy when we did the movie. It was her, the movie was produced also by Chrissy's production agency. And, you know, I think the relationship started there. And, you know, she having that starting point and her love for the French fries and her being a friend of the brand already just made sense, right? I mean, in a way that we build trusted advocacy, the first thing we do is we start with that trusted advocacy in the communities that we build. So we have 30,000 or so, a bit over 30,000, what we call taste buds. These are our loyal fans and people that we engage with from everything from developing and getting feedback on our new products to, engaging them and doing hopefully something fun for them. And getting feedback in the process. So that is where we start. And those people advocate for us. And those are, we'll call, micro influencers within that. And then, there are the big moments that we can create. And I think that's where, Chrissy came into play, is we had that relationship. And I think with that is she obviously has a lot of followers, has, based on her cookbooks and activities, and everything that she's participated in, she was a very good match talent for this. And we went after it. And yes, she had her controversies, but the reality is she apologized. And while we were in the middle of it, we said, it still feels like personal growth is something that we can support and we can get behind.
To America's point, here's a chance you did get to show your values, because she's a very warm personality and her family just loved her. Mm-hmm. And then when she got into that little bit of her past Instagram behavior, she definitely was contrite about it and apologized. So I could see where there may be some criticism. This is exactly what America's point was. There may be some people who were against her, but since it was consistent with your values, you could take a stand and stay with her. It sounds.
I guess that was the one thing we did, which was controversial, America. So I take that back, right? It was a stance that we took, and we were firm about it.
Excellent.
That's
love that.
Great. Well, Alex, you know, it's been like went too fast. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can our listeners go to keep up with everything you're doing with your Unilever brands?
And where can we get some Sir Kensington coupons? I'm just saying.
Well, the first thing you can do is you can go to the stores and buy our fry sauce, Greasy Tegan fry sauce, honey
which is honey
sauce.
Mustard, right? Right.
Yes. I'm all over it.
And if you hit the store soon enough, you may still get a free subscription to Peacock, where our Fries movie, the movie is
nice.
Airing.
Okay, excellent.
So you can get a 3-month free subscription to Peacock. So that excellent. Is very exciting. Otherwise, follow us, become a taste bud, and follow more of what we're doing.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. That's all we have time for today. A big thanks to Professor Emeritus Reed for being my co-host today. We'd like to thank our audio engineer, Dion Simpkins, Chris Tooks, and our producer, Dana Cash. We're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We replay our show several times throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter at SXM Marketing, and you can follow Business Radio at SXM Business for information about all our programming. Thank you all for listening today. Till then, this has been Marketing Matters. I'm Barbara Kahn here with Emeritus Reed, Business Radio, Sirius XM 132.